Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good, Mike.
We're going to talk today about hospitalizations and angina. Once the diagnosis of unstable angina or acute non-ST elevation myocardial infarction is made, the early management requires several clinical objectives, both to make the person comfortable, in other words, to treat their pain, also to make sure they're hemodynamically stable and reduce long-term impacts of a coronary artery occlusion. But once this acute phase is over and early diagnostic and therapeutic interventions have come and gone, focus turns to longer-term interventions that are variable. We're going to talk today about a poem that you found. It addresses an old friend of ours named colchicine. We know that this drug has some anti-inflammatory properties. We use it often to manage pericarditis and gout. We know that inflammation is part of the underlying pathophysiology of atherosclerosis and coronary artery syndromes. So there are perhaps some theoretical reasons to postulate that there might be benefit from colchicine in the post-MI setting. Well, Mark, you found a study of 4,800 patients that may be a practice changer. And on top of that, it's a cheap drug that's well tolerated. Mark, this was a study that was published in the New England Journal that you found. It's published in 2019, starts on page 2497. Does treatment with colchicine after MI prevent recurrent cardiovascular events? What did they find?
Yeah, this is really interesting. And it's kind of up there with the study we reported earlier that taking your blood pressure medicine at night is much better than taking it in the morning. Who knew that something so inexpensive could be so helpful? And so this is a really interesting study. They identified, as you said, over 4,700 adults who'd had an MI in the last 30 days and had completed any revascularization if that was planned. And they were randomized with concealed allocation to either getting colchicine, half a milligram a day, or placebo. Those with severe heart failure, severe liver or kidney disease, recent stroke, or recent CABG were excluded. The primary endpoint was a composite of death from cardiovascular causes, resuscitated cardiac arrest, MI, stroke, or urgent hospitalization for angina leading to revascularization. So kind of a grab bag of composite outcomes, which we're not crazy about, and we'll look more specifically at each one of those. So the two groups were similar at baseline. The average age was about 61 years. Only 19% were women, 30% smokers, 20% diabetes, and almost all were being treated with dual antiplatelet therapy and a statin. They had a median of 19 months follow-up. The main outcome, that composite, was significantly less likely in the colchicine group, 5.5% versus 7.1%. So a number needed to treat of 63 patients to prevent one of these events over 19 months. It was primarily driven by a large decrease in the risk of stroke. The hazard ratio was 0.26, number needed to treat of 167, and also a decrease for urgent hospitalizations leading to revascularization, number needed to treat there about 100. As far as adverse events, the colchicine group reported more nausea and flatulence than the control group. Additionally, the colchicine group had a little bit higher rate of pneumonia. Absolute increase was 0.5%, so the number needed to harm was 200. Not sure of the mechanism that would lead to that, and I don't think that's been reported for other users of colchicine. So that may be spurious or maybe real. There was no effect on the risk of MI, no effect on any of the mortality outcomes, so that's important to point out. The primary benefit was daily colchicine after MI reduced stroke and hospitalizations. The drug's cheap, generally well-tolerated, and should certainly be considered in patients with recent MI.
Very interesting. Has this not been recognized in the past?
I'm not familiar with any studies that have looked at it in acute MI, post-MI patients.
Just to review then, the benefits are with stroke and hospitalization. You're giving this primarily to people who have been hospitalized for MI. There is no benefit specifically in the heart. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. There's no benefit in terms of MI, in terms of resuscitated cardiac arrest or cardiovascular death.
Very well tolerated. A little bit of nausea is what I heard, and a number needed to treat of 63. So is this the kind of thing that we should be giving our patients post-MI?
It'll be interesting to see if it gets incorporated into the ACC-AHA guidelines. It's only a single study, and perhaps there have been other studies I'm not familiar with, but we always like to see some verification. But this was a large, well-designed study. It looks like it was well done. And the absolute benefit is relatively modest when you look at the number needed to treat of 100, 167. But it's also relatively cheap. 50, 60 bucks a month is what I'm seeing on GoodRx. So that may be worth it.
I can't believe it's 50 or 60 bucks a month. But anyways, that's a different story. But it is, I think that perhaps the problem with additional trials is that because it's inexpensive, there's not a big pharmaceutical arm behind it pushing for additional trials.
It was repatented because a company went and did a study and actually proved that it worked for gout, which had always been assumed, and it kind of got grandfathered in. So when this company came in, and it's Colchris is the drug, the trade name, and they got a patent and they jacked up the price, you know, from like $5 to 200. The list price is around 130, 140 bucks with a coupon on GoodRx. It's around 50 or 60. So it's far more than it used to be. Hopefully that price will come down, but you know, I'm not holding my breath.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk again in a week.
Okay.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.